Alright, I want you to turn in your Bibles actually to Ezra. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And by way of introduction and just looking at, we saw this character in the Bible as far as, again, he's a scribe, he's a priest for the nation of Israel, the time of the return of the captivity. And we used him as an example in laying out the vision this year as far as preaching, spreading the truth of the Word of God. And I wanted to start off with a review of that verse just because it really lays into what we're going to be looking at today as far as what it takes for us to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. Last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and specifically we talked about what we are elected to do, what God has elected us to do. We're part of the election of God, and what He's elected us to do is to be able to have a work of faith and a labor of love and patience of hope. In other words, those three things that we're supposed to do are eternal far as rewards that we can able to receive to be able to rule and reign with Christ. So last week we saw what we are supposed to do. Today we're going to look at how to do that. And again, Ezra is a great example of that. If you're there in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "Now Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." All right, and so you look at that as the three aspects of what we need to do every time we come to the Word of God. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. That's why we pray, should be praying, and really just the study of the Word of God, seeking what the Lord will have for us. But the next step is to do it. It's to take the Word of God that is to us and apply it in our lives. So it's not just something that we'd be hypocrites when it comes to actually teaching the Word of God, that we're teaching something that we ourselves are not doing. That's hypocrisy. Ezra was not that way. He sought the law of the Lord, he applied the Word of the Lord, and then he then shared or taught the Word of the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, and really it's the same thing that we're going to be seeing today in 1 Thessalonians. So let's actually turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're only going to be looking at one verse today, in verse 5, because there is so much that we have to it. If you have your outlines there, we have five different points that we're going to be looking at from verse 5. And again, as you make your way to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to begin again in verse 3 and read through verse 5. It says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So again, verse 3 tells us what to do, what God has elected us to do. Verse 5 is really going in and how we do that. What is our conversation? And that's why I named, as far as the title of this message, exactly that, our conversation. Remember, biblically, the word conversation is not just what we say, it's what we do. And you see that with Paul in talking about him and Silas and Timothy, what manner of men they were among them for their sake. So we're going to dig in to verse 5 and really lay out when it talks about dealing with not the Word only. The Word of God is the foundation. But then it talks about dealing with power. That really deals with the authority or authorization. And then it talks about the Holy Ghost and dealing with edification. And then it talks about in much assurance, that's going to be consolation. And then obviously what manner of men we were among you is going to be dealing with demonstration. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started on what we need to see out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Father in heaven, again, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your direction and everything that you do for us, all that you have given us. And Lord, just your protection, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this place that we're able to freely open up your word and have the ability to be able to learn it, to share it, to apply it to our lives, obviously. And Lord, I pray that you help us, our hearts and minds, to concentrate and focus in on what we need to see today out of this verse. Lord, help us to understand that, again, as we start this year, 2021, and dealing with this vision as far as being able to preach the Word, help us to understand how we do that. We understand what we need to be doing, but how we need to be doing it. And really, that I pray that your Spirit will work in each and every one of our hearts, because we're all at different levels of maturity as far as our relationship, our walk with you. And some of us struggle with, well, I don't know how to speak, or I don't know enough of the Word of God, and those kind of things, which tend to maybe hinder. We get in the flesh and think, well, there's no way you can use me to be able to share the truth of the Word. But that is false. Lord, you can use each and every one of us, no matter what stage of our growth that we are in. And I pray that everyone that will hear this message will understand that and will open up their hearts and minds to that and to what your word is saying, and again, trusting you and putting faith in you that you can use them to be able to share your word. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into this. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." So in other words, it's not just, let me give you the facts and the figures and go on my way. There's more to it than that in dealing with Paul and Silas and Timothy and sharing the word of God with the Thessalonians. But again, honestly, it starts with the word, all right? It's the foundation of that. It says not the word of God only. Well, that means there at least there has to be the word. That's where it starts. It's not a matter of a feel-good story. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of the philosophy of the things of this world. It's about the word of God. You know that, been around, see me, hear me preach, you know that that's what the emphasis is around here, is the understanding of the Word of God. It is that foundation. I want you to just go one book back, actually, to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 5 and verse 6. There's a couple of verses I want to read out of this chapter that relates to that far as the foundation of the gospel, of course. Again, it is the Word of God, and that's what's going to allow us to be able to obviously understand having a relationship with Christ and to be able to grow from that. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says this, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Again, when we talk about the grace of God and knowing it in truth, it goes beyond just understanding our salvation, but understanding how, again, it needs to bring fruit in our life. It's able to have us to be able to grow and accomplish the things that the Lord would have us to do. If you jump down into verse 21 as well, as we continue to see this gospel, this the word of God laid out for us, in verse 21 it says this, same chapter, Colossians 1, it says, "In you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Again, that's our salvation. Well, how do you do that? Verse 22. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Well, how does that happen? It happens if we, again, apply the truth of the Word of God, and it's a condition that can happen as long as we're doing that. Verse 23. "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now, there's a lot that's in verse 23, and it's not my desire to go through and preach a message on verse 23. But understand this, as Christians, if we want to have that hope of the glory of God, which we talked about last week, one of the rewards that we can have in being able to rule and reign with Christ, then we shouldn't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. We shouldn't be moved away by the things of this world. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what happens in our nation in 2021, we should not allow it to move us away from the hope of the gospel and being able to continue to grow and allow the gospel, the word of God, to bear fruit in our life. It is the foundation. And it's interesting in verse 23, it talks about, again, it says, "which ye have heard." That means somebody preached it. Somebody taught it. Somebody shared the truth of the word of God. It says, "and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister." In other words, Paul was a minister to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. He says, "I was made a minister." In other words, Paul allowed God to make him a minister, a servant. And it's the same thing that we need to have allow the Lord to do in our lives. Allow him to make us a minister. Allow him to show us how to preach the truth of the gospel, to share the truth of the word of God so that we can reach others. And again, so that there's a day coming that when we stand before the Lord, he can say, "well done, good and faithful servant. You've done the things I've asked you to do," and being able to rule and reign with him. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So the word of God is that foundation, all right? It has to have that. And we're sharing, we're supposed to be sharing with people, it's the word of God, the gospel. It says, "for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." And talking about power, we're talking about authority. Somebody's in authority, they have power to do whatever they are in authority to do. It's like I've been entrusted with being able to be a law enforcement officer for the state of Kansas. Alright? I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, the laws of the land, and state, the Constitution, and all the laws regarding that, and I have certain powers or authority to be able to do my position as an enforcement agent. Alright? It's something that I don't take lightly. It's something that I understand that it's not just state-given, but it's God-given. That's something that the Word of God lays out. But when we talk about the Word of God, as Christians, God is able to give us power or authority to be able to lay out the truth of the Word of God. And really that power and authority is going to come as having the Word of God applied to our life. If we want to have power and authority in sharing the truth of the Word of God, then we need to make sure that our life matches what we are saying. All right? I want you to go back to the book of Matthew, actually. Matthew chapter 7. As you make your way there, give you a little bit of the context of what's taking place. This is at the end of what they call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ is laying out how the kingdom of heaven is going to operate. And even this is still not yet completely fulfilled. It's not fulfilled until really in the millennium when the Lord comes back and sets up his government. And this is like the constitution of the kingdom of heaven and how it's going to operate. So from chapters 5, 6, all the way through 7, the Lord is laying those things out. And I want you to pay attention to what it says at the end of this in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look down in verses 28 and 29. Now, the very last thing that Jesus Christ says about all of this, everything that he's been saying since chapter 5, he gives an illustration of somebody who builds their house on a rock, foundation, Word of God, Jesus Christ, and somebody who builds a house that doesn't build it on a foundation. And when the storms come, the house that's built on the foundation lasts. It's able to deal with the storm. The house that's not built on a foundation is wiped away. Now, the key in all of that, Jesus says, the person that hears my words and does them, their house is like unto a rock. Somebody who hears the word but doesn't do it, doesn't apply it, their house is built on sand. And when the storms come, of course, it's going to have great destruction. And then after he's done with that, because that's what we're talking about, that's the example of Ezra. Seek the law of the Lord and do it. Hear the word and apply it to your life. Here's what it says there. But for those who listen to Jesus Christ through all of this, it says in verse 28, so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes are the ones that their whole job was to study of the Word of God. You got the scribes and the Pharisees. Their occupation was the study of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. But when the scribes were teaching, obviously, they had no power behind what they were saying. There's no authority behind what they were saying. The reason why is because they really didn't believe what they were saying. They didn't believe what they were studying. They didn't apply it to their life. So there was no power there. There was no authority. And so as Christians, if we want to have the Word of God and we share it, have power and authority, that means we got to, again, believe what we're talking about. We have to apply it to our lives. I want to give you another example, this time of the Apostle Paul, and I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Paul is giving an overview, a review of how he ministered to the church of Corinth. When he came to the city of Corinth, he gives a description of what his state was and what he and how he shared the Word of God there. And it's very instructive, I think, in what we need to be doing again today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. I'm actually going to read down through verse 5. It says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So when Paul came to the Corinthians, it's not, again, not of excellency of speech. He wasn't some great orator. Again, a lot of times as Christians, we say, well, there's no way I can share the truth. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to lay things out. Well, neither did the Apostle Paul. Because he wasn't trying to, again, rely upon his flesh and rely on his ability or his inability. He's relying upon the power of God. He looked back there and he says, I determined not to know anything except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, as Christians, if you are a Christian, that is the base foundation of what you should know and understand. Because that's how we get saved. We understand what Jesus Christ did, His death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul, in all the studies and everything that he grew up, he said, you know what? Here's what I know. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I know. And he goes on, and he talks about how he was in weakness and fear and trembling. He understood the magnitude of what he was doing in preaching and sharing the truth of the Word of God. But he says this, verse 4 again, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He's not trying to argue somebody into the kingdom. He's not trying to have the most flowery speech or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. Again, it says, for my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And it's interesting how that goes hand in hand. The Spirit of God and power and authority. And it all happens because, again, of the Word of God being applied to his life. Just like Ezra, and just like we see, obviously, in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we see with the Apostle Paul, and it needs to be the same with us. Now, I want you to stay here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? Because there's another reference I want to give. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, For our word came not unto you, for our preaching was not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, is the next thing that he mentions. We talk about the Word of God being the foundation. We talk about, again, dealing with the power, the authorization, again, of having the Word of God applied to our lives. But then there's the Holy Spirit. That's edification. Not the Word of God only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And even as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 4, it talks about demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They go hand in hand. And here's the thing, because again, I know so many people think, like, there's no way I can be used of God to be able to share the truth or speak to somebody one-on-one, let alone there's no way I can stand up in front of a group. And again, I'm not saying this year that that's what needs to happen, that every Christian needs to be standing in front of a large group or a group, whatever, and preaching the Word of God. God gives you that opportunity. Hey, praise God. But we're talking about just even one-on-one. God gives you the opportunity with a co-worker or with somebody in your neighborhood or a friend, a family member, whatever, that you understand that God can use you to spread the truth of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is there to help you. You shouldn't be relying upon yourself and your ability or inability. You're relying on what God is able to do through you. Now, you're still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to look down in verse 12. I'm going to read through verse 14. It says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I understand that from the get-go. So, well, I don't know enough about the Word of God. That's fine. Just open up your heart, open up the Word of God, and trust that God and the Spirit of God is going to start showing you and having you to understand His truth. Little by little, here, there, a little bit, here and there. Right? It's not meant that you're going to be able to know everything in the Word of God all at once. It's not designed that way. But just understand, open up your heart and understanding and open up the Word of God. The Spirit of God will start teaching you the truth. It's freely given. He goes on in verse 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why we do cross-reference. That's why I preach and teach the way that I do, and comparing Scripture with Scripture so I get a complete understanding of what God is laying out. But again, who's doing the teaching here? It's the Holy Spirit of God in verse 13. Not in man's wisdom. If I come here on a Sunday morning thinking that I've got it, all the wisdom, I got it together to be able to teach you, it's going to fall flat. You're not going to learn anything. It's not going to do anything for your life. I have to depend, and hopefully, that you walk away with something and understanding something in the Word of God. If you do, it's only because of what the Spirit of God has done through His Word and the preaching and the teaching of the Word. It has nothing to do with me, per se. My job is to study, yes. My job is to make sure that the things that I learned is to apply them to my life, so when I get up here again, that, you know, that God can work through me. But if anything is to be understood, it has nothing to do with how I preach. Nothing to do with how I teach. It's a matter of, am I allowing the Spirit of God to use the Word of God, to use me as an instrument to be able to get the truth out? And that's the same thing that God wants to do with every believer. To have the Spirit of God that's in you, the Word of God, and to be able to share it with others. And verse 14, so important, it says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So a lost person is not going to understand the Word of God. The only thing that a lost person can understand is the gospel on how to get saved, and God and the Holy Spirit even gives them the understanding to do that, gives them the faith to be able to accept that. But they still got to choose whether they're going to accept it or not. So when you're trying to explain a lot of stuff in the Word of God to somebody who's lost and have no heart, no desire for the Word of God, it's foolishness unto them. Boy, don't even waste your time. All right? But, I mean, if God gives you an open door and He's working and somebody's heart is open to the truth, yeah, obviously you're going to share the truth of the Word of God, but you need to share what they're able to handle. A lost person is not going to be able to understand all this doctrine and everything in the Word of God. It is foolishness. It doesn't make sense to them because a natural man cannot understand the Word of God. It's a spiritual book, and it takes the Holy Spirit of God in your life to be able to understand the Word of God. All right, understand that. All right, but for our purposes, I want you to understand again, it's not a matter of I got to depend on my abilities, my words, my wisdom to be able to try to teach somebody. No, what we need to do is to depend on the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work through us. It's all about what God wants to do through us, not what we think abilities that we have or not. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only," the word, foundation, "but also in power," the authority, authorization, right? Comes from, again, applying the Word of God to our lives. "And in the Holy Ghost," that's edification, it's the Holy Spirit of God that's going to teach us. That's His part of His ministry, is to teach us the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. But then it goes on and it says, "And in much assurance," to be assured of something, gives you some consolation, all right, that what is being laid out is indeed true as far as the Word of God. Because there's a lot of deception that is out there. There's a lot of corruption of the Word of God. I didn't have this verse in mind when I was putting it together, but it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, where Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as in sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Alright? Again, lines right up with what the vision and direction is for us this year, and being able to speak the truth of the Word of God, to be able to share it. But there's a lot of corruption that is out there. There's a lot of false doctrine that's out there. A lot of false churches that are out there. It's like, and Paul understood and recognized that, and wanted to give them much assurance of the truth of the Word of God. Not only that, when you stand on the truth of the Word of God, guess what? There's a lot of persecution. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of trials that we go through. A lot of times, especially for new Christians, it's like, you know, am I really saved? Is God really, helping me out? Because I'm going through a whole lot of stuff here. A whole lot of trials and tribulations. And Paul says, you know what? I want to give you much assurance. Because as we're going to see later in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, they're going through a lot of suffering. They're going through suffering because they're, what? Sharing the truth of the Word of God. They're being the example. We're going to see that they're taking exactly what the example they got from Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they're doing that themselves and reaching other people. And they were going through a lot of suffering and persecution. So we need to have that much assurance. I want you to go back to the book of Colossians again. This time, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 1, read down through verse 4. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And as we look at this, again, understand that the Colossians were dealing with people trying to come in and deceive them. And so Paul wanted to make sure that they had assurance and understanding of the truth of the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, we've seen that enticing words before. Paul says, my preaching and everything is not of enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, there's a lot of that that is out there. It sounds good, sounds nice. I mean, doesn't it sound nice that, hey, you're a child of God. And as a child of God, that you're a child of the King. And you should be blessed. You should be prosperous. You should have the nice house and the nice car and so forth. Doesn't that sound nice? Sign me up for that Christianity. But where is that in the Bible? Matter of fact, the opposite is really said. We've seen in 1 Timothy chapter 6 where it talks about how those who think that gain is godliness, you know, you need to turn away from that. Right? Not saying that God doesn't have a problem with if you have finances and riches and so forth. Hey, praise God, use it to His glory and honor. And keep God first and not your finances. But the whole idea, there's a lot of enticing words out there. A lot of false doctrine out there. Paul says, I want to assure you that everything that we have in Jesus Christ and in His Word, all right, the treasures of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and all those things are right here in Christ, right here in the Word of God. Let me give you assurance of that so that you're not beguiled, so you're not deceived. And again, as we're going to see as we continue through 1 Thessalonians, it's important to have that consolation, that assurance, because here's something. If you're not going through any kind of trials and persecutions, then you really got to check, am I really living for the Lord? You guys know the verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're standing on doing what's right, you're going to go through it. If you are standing on everything that the world lays out, then everything is probably going to be, for the most part, fine. You're not going to have people talking about you, going against you in a sense. I'm not saying that's not every case, but if you're just blended into the ways of the world, then it's going to probably go a lot easier for you than as opposed to actually taking a stand on what is right, especially in this day and age. If you do that, you're going to go through some stuff. And we need to have the assurance, the much assurance from the Word of God that indeed we are doing what is right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, foundation, but also in power, authorization, and in the Holy Ghost, edification, and in much assurance, consolation. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Demonstration. Paul, Silas, and Timothy lived the Word of God that they were preaching. They applied it to their lives. They were able to see it. And we're going to see the benefit of that from the Thessalonians and how they end up doing the exact same thing. We'll look at that in this next week as we look at the next couple of verses. They were demonstrating, again, what the Word of God is all about. They lived it. They applied it. They were not hypocrites. Again, we've seen so many examples in this last year and even still beginning of this year. We talk about restrictions as far as COVID and leaders saying, hey, you can't do this, can't do that, so forth. And all of a sudden we find out that they're doing the very thing they're saying that you're not supposed to do. It's hypocrisy. And we know how that makes us feel. It's like, well, if they're going to go ahead and do that, then I'm going to do that. Because obviously they really don't believe what they're saying. Think about it. How many times do people say, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity? Because obviously they don't believe what they're saying. They're saying this, but yet their life is no different than anybody else in the world. Now again, that's not going to be an excuse that's going to fly with God. I mean, everybody's going to have to stand before God, and there's not going to be any excuses that is going to fly with that and why you don't accept Christ as your Savior and so forth. But that should not be, we should not allow that to be an excuse or a reason why people don't want to follow the Lord. Because they look at our lives and you know what? It is absolutely no different than the rest of this world. Why would I accept Christ? Why would I follow Christ? Why am I going to listen to them? All right? I want to show you a couple things with Paul. All right? I want you to go back to the book of Acts. Chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. this is where Paul is with the leaders of Ephesus. Before he's going to go up to Jerusalem, he knows that there's persecution that's going to abide him there. Indeed, that's where he gets arrested for the first time. But he's kind of given a farewell speech to the leaders of Ephesus. And I want you to pick it up in verse 18. So Acts chapter 20, verse 18, I'm going to read down through verse 21. It says this, "And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Incredible verse. "So serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." In this passage, you see Paul preaching, Paul speaking the truth, but you see him living it. He demonstrated it. And the thing that I want you to most see out of this, in verse 18, he says, in the last phrase of that verse, it says, "After what manner I have been with you at all seasons." The good times and the bad times. It's easy for us to be a Christian when everything is going well. Bills are paid, going to work, and you have no bad traffic. Everything at work is fine. There's no mess-ups or anything going on or somebody causing you a problem. It's easy to be a Christian when everything is going well, when the season is a good season. But what about when it's a bad season? What about when there's trials and tribulations? There's turmoil, whatever the case is. There's struggles. I mean, that is really the proof of what kind of Christian we are, is when we are tested. And Paul is able to say, we have it for all of eternity here in the Word of God. He says, "You know, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind." I mean, most of us would be like, if we say, "You know what, I'm so humble." If I said that, "I am humble," it's like, you saying that is prideful. How can you say you're humble? Oh, really? God allows Paul to say this because it is true. No matter what the season, the good and the bad, he served the Lord. His manner of life was serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Where it all starts, your thoughts. It says there's many tears and temptations. Don't sit here and think that, but Paul was unscathed by all the things that he went through. He's a man. He was no different than us. We have tears. We have things that happen in our lives that bring us to tears. We have things that there's temptations in our lives, the same struggles of dealing with the flesh. Paul went through all that. But he was the example of applying the Word of God, serving the Lord with all humility at all seasons, no matter what the case is. So we have the opportunity to do what? To teach people so that is what is profitable to them. To be able to help them in their walk with the Lord. He held nothing back. And he taught them publicly, house to house. How? What? How to have repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The exact thing that Paul is doing in his testimony here in Acts chapter 20 is the exact same testimony that we should have. Now, when it comes down to the end of our life, when it comes down to, you know, if the Lord takes us to the rapture of the church before we die, hopefully that'll be the testimony that we have. That no matter the season, we're serving the Lord. Humility of mind, so I can be able to share the truth of the Word of God to make so that others can be profitable in their walk. So lost people can understand repentance toward God. So saved people can understand how to grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exact kind of testimony that we need to have. I want to give you one more reference here, and it's actually back in 1 Thessalonians. And it's going to be in chapter 2. Now really, And looking at chapter 2, there's so much of this that deals with the manner of life that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had to the Thessalonians. But I'm not going to take the time to read through it, because obviously we're going to go through it. We're going to go through it very specifically and lay it out. But I want to just show you verse 10 right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. So we talk about what manner of life they were for their sake. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. It says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." It deals with their manner of life. The things that they did was holy. Their life was separated out to serve God. Again, the same thing for us. It doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter what our occupation is. Do we use it to be able to serve God? How holy, how justly, doing what is right, what is just. Do the right thing. All right? It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world... I mean, we live in a world that where good is bad now, and bad is good. We're doing what's right in the eyes of the world is the wrong thing. If you don't line up with their thought, their doctrine, and so forth and so on, then they cancel you, or they just you get rid of your voice. That's the age that we're living in. That's welcome to 2021. But should that stop us? No. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. Because we're going to be given account before the Lord. Not an account to the rest of this world. Alright? They behaved themselves holy. They were just, unblameable. There was nothing in their life that the Thessalonians can say, you know what, hey Paul, Silas, Timothy, that's not quite right. I mean, the Word of God says this, but you're doing that. There was nothing that they could blame them for. Lifestyle. Ezra. Prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Can't get away from that. Study of the Word. Apply the Word. And then we're ready to share the Word. Again, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That was their manner of life. And you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5 to end everything today. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They didn't do this for them, for themselves. They did this for the Thessalonians, for their sake. They weren't thinking about them, they were thinking about others. And it's no different than what we need to do today. How we behave ourselves, how we comport ourselves. The things that we say, the things that we do for the sake of others, that they, what, can learn how to have a walk and relationship with Christ. If we want to have the power and authority behind what we say, then it's a matter of what we do. Our life has got to match that. As I was reviewing and just studying this morning before coming to church, it's like the Lord just laid on my heart another verse to conclude the whole thing. And that's something that we actually looked at and studied last year. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Again, as Paul talks to the Thessalonians, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When you go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, our gospel, the gospel of grace. It's also known as the gospel of peace. Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh what? The gospel of Christ. Have your life, your manner of living be reflective. Let it become the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Having your conversation become the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Our life, our manner of life, our conversation becoming the gospel of Christ, that we die to the old self, bury it, put it away, and been raised to walk in newness of life, like it says in Romans chapter 6. That every day our life should become more like the gospel of Christ. It's not a done deal. It's not like we're ever going to get to the place where we're still living on this planet that we have arrived. I am just like Christ in every sense of the word. That's not going to happen until we stand before Him, until He changes this vile body and is fashioned like unto His glorious body. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. We need to let every day for our conversation, that it becomes the gospel, that we are a walking testament. You got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, you got the walking testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And that's what our life should be. Our life should be, we should be a walking Word of God. What we learn and what we understand in the Word of God and continue to do that, it should be a part of our life. It's just like one of my favorite movies. I mentioned this before. I love it. The Book of Eli. Denzel Washington. All right? Side note. If I had one wish, one desire to have before I leave planet Earth, I think I would be good as a stunt double for Denzel Washington in an action movie. I got it. People say I look like him. All right? I got the karate. I can do this. If you want to give me a birthday gift, somehow I want to be in the next movie. All right, anyhow, that's a side note, all right? That's not spiritual, that's physical. But anyhow, but in the book of Eli, he memorizes the book. It's like he is a walking Bible. And he just quotes it all, as far as the end of the book. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry I ruined it for you. I haven't ruined everything, but I just ruined that part. He becomes the walking Word of God. That should be our desire. Is that our life, our conversation, becomes the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Because that's how our words are going to have a power and authority and make a difference in somebody's life, is as we study the Word, as we read the Word, that we apply it to our lives as much as we can, continually learning day by day by day, so that when we have the opportunity, that what we say is the same thing as what we do. It's the same. It's the same. I'll leave you with this because it's kind of funny. Teach karate. You guys know that. A couple of weeks ago, I was sparring with my, I guess she's 10 now, and great student. I teach her things and she just picks it up and does it, it's awesome. But I was sparring with her and I always joke around. It's like, you can't touch me. And she was like, what do you mean? Every time you block one of my punches, I'm touching you. No, I'm saying, you can't hit me. And I was like, so we're fighting and sparring, I'm talking, I'm jabbing. And I said, you know what? It's not like I do karate. I am karate. My body is karate, And she turns around and she said, you know what your body also is? It's talking. She said, all you do is talk. It was hilarious. She's witty, all right? But the idea in karate is that you do it so much. You train in so much, repetition over and over and over again, that it just naturally, if you have to defend yourself, you don't even have to think about it. Your body just responds to whatever's going on. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of training to be able to do that. Not saying that I'm there yet. But you know what? It is a perfect picture of what a walk with Christ should be in the Word. That we spend the time in the Word that we need and apply it to our life, that no matter the circumstance that happens, no matter the season, no matter what it is, we respond by the Word of God and not in the flesh. And so, because that's when people really are looking at us. Let's see if this Christianity is real in their life. It's not when things are going well. What happens when things are going wrong? Is this Christianity real in our lives? Are we going to respond according to the gospel? Or are we going to still respond according to the flesh? That's going to be the difference. An incredible verse, a lot that's in it. Hopefully something was said that will work in your lives. But again, as we end this, and again, we're going to look forward to next week and seeing what we're going to see in the next couple of verses here. We're going to see the results, start seeing the results of what Paul and Silas and Timothy, what they did, that their manner of life was a walking Word of God in a sense. What they said is what they did. And it made a difference in the Thessalonians, and it turns around that the Thessalonians are going to do the exact same thing. Again, let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your Word. Again, and talk about not with the enticing words or understanding. And I to be honest with you, I feel like I come today of this message, and it's like I feel like Moses, a man of uncircumcised lips. I feel like a Apostle Paul himself, that it's like my voice, my speech is contemptible, he says. He was no great orator whatsoever. But Lord, the comforting thing is, it's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of how well we speak or can't speak. What we know, what we don't know. It's a matter of having a heart attitude, that humbleness of mind that Paul talked about, to trust you and rely upon the Spirit of God working through us. Our job is to spend time in the Word, time in prayer, and to be able to apply the things that we understand and know. Lord, you'll do the rest. You just want us to be of an open and willing heart and mind. And that as you give us open doors in people's lives, that we'd be willing to share what you've taught us. Lord, help us continue to strive to be like an Ezra. That every time we come to the Word of God, we prepare our hearts to seek your Word. But then to do it. The things that you've shown us, or show us in the Word, that we would do it. And then that's going to give us the credibility, the power, the authority, Holy Spirit working through us, that when we teach the Word, it'll be like the people when they listen to Jesus, that it's with authority, it's with power, and not like the religious people. Lord, help our lives this year make a difference in others, that we can be profitable to them. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.